All right. Well, tonight, here's what we're doing is we're going to start with the Word of God. And these are different men. And I don't know, we may not have all of them here tonight. And I think we probably have most. But we're going to just take a few minutes. And so, gentlemen, if knowing that we are going to have a brief business meeting, but we do have maybe 10, 15 minutes worth of business meeting. And we'll read the minutes. We'll go at it in an orderly fashion. And tell you about what's going on. I'm going to tell you some projects that we are looking at and some things like that as well. And so, gentlemen, if maybe we'll kind of just keep it to 4 or 5, maybe 5 minutes each, I think we'll just have sufficient time to do just right. Even though that's not sufficient time to go into the Word, is it? But we'll do that tonight. And the truth of the matter is, I left my sheet as to who was doing which verses. And so if you have yours, hopefully you are ready. And so how many men are planning on speaking tonight? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. I can't see back in the sound room, but I don't think there's a hand back there. All right. So why don't we start with Brother Corallo, and then Brother Allen, and then over to Brother Mills, and then back to Brother Larry. Is that okay? And I think that's the ones that we have. Brother Don, is there anyone back there that is speaking? Okay, all right. All right, so Brother Corallo, why don't you take us to Proverbs and let us know what it is, and if you don't mind, just read the text with us, if you will, please.
Absolutely. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, and if you have a double flipper about you, Jonah chapter 2 as well. Proverbs chapter 3 is going to be the starting point and to help us understand very quickly. Jonah 2. All right, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4 is what I'll be looking at with you. The theme here is mercy and truth. Proverbs chapter 3, 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now, what's interesting, when I first read that, it's mercy and truth. Think of them as links in a chain. It's not mercy or truth, and that's going to be very important here in just a minute. You and I must have these two elements in our lives, mercy and truth. We are commanded here, the warning here is, number one, don't let them forsake you. Well, that leads to the question, what would cause them to leave me? It's not saying, don't you abandon mercy and truth. Don't let them forsake thee. Well, this is an individual responsibility. Remember all the T words, the thee, thy, thine, that's individuals. The plurals are with the Y's, ye, you, yours. So what is the relationship here between mercy and truth? They seem like two different subjects, don't they? Jonah chapter 2, if you will. And I wrote it down here to save myself some time. Just for the sake of time, let's just look at verses 8 through 10 of Jonah 2. The context here, end of chapter 1, Jonah's swallowed by the fish. He's in a state of disobedience, rebellion. He's going the opposite direction than God wanted him to go. So we find him here in the belly of the whale, the fish. Jonah 2, 8, he's in a prayer. He's petitioning the Lord for some things. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. This is just a side note, but many times in Scripture we find God's creation, his animals, in obedience and doing the things that God directed them to do more than we do people. But let me say this very emphatically, lying vanities there in verse 8 are very injurious. They hurt. They hurt not only in their feeling, but they hurt in their effect. What is a result of a lying vanity? And unfortunately, I don't have the time tonight to list and discuss many of the lying vanities and also the many harms that they each cause. But Jonah sums it up well here when he says that great injurious result of observing lying vanities when he says that those that do that forsake their own mercy. And this simply means that anyone that will observe a lying vanity is forsaking the mercy that God intended for that person.
That's right.
In effect, that mercy will be forsaking that person. The mercy says, I was going to be distributed to you, into your life. We understand what mercy is, getting something withheld that you deserve, something negative. And the mercy was going to be poured out on me, or it was going to be poured out on you. It was going to be poured out on Jonah. But Jonah realized that's good doctrine, that's good teaching, that if you observe lying vanities, might be of your mind, it might be something someone shared with you, whatever the source, we realize that if we don't have God's mercy, we perish. We are in a terrible situation. To follow, to heed, to observe any lying vanity is in essence to be very cruel to yourself. And of course, the philosophies of the devil, corrupt men, corrupt women, would have you think that following them will lead to great pleasure and enjoyment. But that is a lie, because in effect, you will do the opposite. You will remove God's mercy from your life, and you will inflict much cruelty. You may get temporary esteem. You might get a position. You may have power. You may have riches. You may get what you wanted. But nothing will ever compensate for your loss. Forsaking your own mercy will cancel out the advantage of any gain that you got through evil. And what a price Jonah had to pay for following lying vanities. Again, we'd have to go through the chapter 1, chapter 2 to see what they were, but he thought that he could gain something from running away from the Lord. It's short term. We must build our lives individually on truth. This is the relationship of mercy and truth. Amen. Never on a lie of the devil or a lie of mankind. We must build and maintain our position upon something that lasts, not something that will deceive us or shortchange us in any way. And God's word is that one unchanging source of truth. Had Jonah let it control his thinking, what troubles would he have avoided? But like many in every age, Jonah let something besides God's words to him affect his actions. Everyone in life is controlled by one philosophy or another. We have different temptations that affect us differently, but they all have a common source, and they will each wreak the havoc in our lives if it is a lying vanity. And too often, that which controls anyone in society, we may know someone personally that's being affected by a lying vanity. It will almost always be more attractive than God's truth. But truth must guide our action, or we will forsake mercy, destroy ourselves, and hurt others. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But those who persist in living on a foundation of lies will one day be in a place or a position where mercy will no longer be granted. And this is certainly true in the eternal perspective. God's mercy, his mercy endureth forever. But I want us to understand tonight in this brief few moments, mercy and truth are related. Yes. You don't have to take my word for it. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So that takes us to verse 4 of Proverbs 3 tonight. If you do this, you do not let mercy and truth forsake you. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's a sad reality, but my grandfather was lied about in the ministry, and the lies succeeded in hurting the local church that he pastored to the point of its closure. I have been lied about, and those lies have succeeded in hurting members and ministries, some here, but in other places that I have been a part of. I have yet to be in a church where someone has not spread lies amongst other members. It's a toxic element. And you and I cannot mitigate every lie that will be launched. But you and I can fail to observe a lying vanity. Yeah. Truth and mercy are inseparable. Last verse, Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Do you want peace? Get righteousness. The alternative is a troubled life. Do you want mercy? Get truth. The alternative is receiving what you deserve. All right, that's all I've got for this evening.
Good evening. I did ask, I shouldn't be up here. I did ask Pastor Bray on the Wednesdays that he preached, everybody sat frontward. And when the men preach, everybody sit in the back, because then I won't be able to see you. But anyway, I hope not to keep you past 3 minutes here. My verses are probably, I would say, in the top 10 verses in the Bible that people memorize, and as well as a principle in the Bible that how we live our lives. And if you go to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and I'm sure most of you can quote this, but I'm up here nervously standing, so I'm going to read it so I get it right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If I could say it. Now, this is a conditional promise, so that means that if we obey the first part, you know, the last part will come true, because it is God's promise. And Pastor Bray told us a few weeks back about a app on the phone, Blue Letter Bible, and basically how to use that. And so since then, me and Michelle both have just been, you know, going back and forth. It's just like, wow, all this right here. And it just helps. But I'd like to just break down the way the Blue Letter Bible breaks down these words. And most of it is, you know, as I said, is a principle that we go by and live by. And trust, to have confidence, to be secure, to be bold in the Lord. Now, this is Jehovah God. And so this is the one who knows the beginning from the end, knows every situation you're going to face, every pitfall ahead. With all, and that, you know, we know what all is, that's all, so that's totality and everything. Thine heart, inner man, your mind, your will, your heart, your understanding. And Proverbs, you know, goes on about understanding. And lean, to lean on, to trust in, to support. Not, and that's not or do not, unto is toward, thine own understanding is understanding or discernment. And trust in God with all our heart means to decide to put away our own understanding and instead choose to trust God with his understanding. When something goes wrong, people might say, I can't understand why God allowed this to happen. So they don't have godly understanding, and I'll hopefully tie this in a little bit later. But last week, we didn't make it on Wednesday night, and there was something that I had in there in chapter 2 and from my study last week, and I found that knowledge can exist without wisdom, but wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. A person can be knowledgeable without being wise. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it in your holster. And we'll continue on with verse 6. In all, that's totality again, thy ways is a road, a way, a path, or a journey. I like journey there. Acknowledge him, and that's to know him, to learn to know him, to perceive him. And shall direct is to be right, to be straight, to be level, to be upright, or to be just. And thy paths is the path or the way. God promised if we do these things, we can trust that that God will direct our paths. We can live in peace, even in a crazy world as we live in, believing that through His Word, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through the godly counsel of others, and through just plain old godly common sense, God will direct our paths. At the age of 40, I don't remember who I was telling, but it was almost, I was saying and probably bragging a little bit about, I've never broken a bone in my body. Never. You know, I thought, I'm 40 years old. What am I going to break now? Okay, so not too long after cutting wood, I broke my nose in three places by a tree limb swatting me there, and it just ripped me all the way up. And so I've broken a bone now three times. Then a few years later, I had a motorcycle accident where I lost a kidney. I had a compound break in my right arm and wrist, broke four ribs, collapsed lung, and 14 days in the trauma department. And of course, the latest incident I had was my stroke. With each of these circumstances, God has seen me through, and I really would not want to change or take away any of these out of my life, because you learn so much from these circumstances like that, if your eyes are on the Lord. And let me see here. To change anything. And then I said, well, I would like to change a little bit of the pain. You know, the pain is what hurts. But just seeing God hear and answer prayers. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't my prayers. It was the church prayers. It was my family's prayers. It was friends' prayers. It was a combination. And I think that's what gets us through. Arlen with his kidney. I mean, what an inspiration Arlen was through this situation that he had. With my stroke from the beginning, all the doctors and therapists told me about losing the whole left side of my body, that part of my brain was gone forever, you know, it's gone. And as many of you know, I don't have much to lose. And to get it any function back, I would have to make new pathways in your mind, in your brain, all over again. Do you want to grow in the Lord? Then make new pathways in your mind and trust God and believe all things are possible. And to finish up, I was going to read in Matthew 22:35-40, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. When I was reading about, that commandment, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, I was just placing these new pathways. And we're all at different levels in life. And when I was younger, I was way down. You know, I hate to admit it, but now, through reading and learning and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance and everything like that, you know, you can look back at your life and just see how God has been there the whole time. Amen. And so that's the important thing, is, you know, getting our minds right and loving God. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Allen. You're an inspiration to me. I haven't had that much trauma in my life. And I'm not going to say anything more than that about it, or it might start happening. And I appreciate your comments about wisdom and knowledge, too. It made me think. I had a very wise father, and my father would warn me as a youth sometimes. He would talk about individuals, and sometimes I was impressed with their knowledge. And he would say, "Arlen, that person is his term for it. Maybe it sounds kind of crude, but he said, he's an educated fool." And so when I went away to college, my dad said, "I want our kids, there were five of us, and they want us to go to college." But he said, "I don't want you to become an educated fool." So I never had the nerve to ask my dad if I passed or not. So maybe when I get to heaven, I see my dad, I'll forget about that by then. Be too much. Well, my verses are, and that clock is hard to see from up here, isn't it? Are the 9th and 10th verses of Proverbs chapter 3. So let's read them first. "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So, as I think Pastor mentioned, but if you read through Proverbs, much of it is in couplets. There's a verse, there's this, and this goes with this one. And they all relate in a way, but you see those this and that. And if you look at these two verses, they've each got two parts there. First part is what we're commanded to do, what the Lord is saying we must do. And then this second verse, verse 10, gives two as well. So let's just start out with the verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." And of course, we all know what honoring is. We have various concepts of that. To respect someone, I guess, would be showing them honor, I think, is unto the Lord. You know, if you were talking with an important person on earth, one of the things that you would show them respect, you would listen to them, wouldn't you? And be attentive to them. And if you're asked questions, you would answer respectfully. And so lots of lessons there from that, and we won't go into all of it, but of how we are to honor the Lord. And I'll get to another in just a minute aspect that I think we can show our honor unto the Lord. But let's look at the second part of that one. So honor the Lord, and that's Jehovah Lord, with thy substance. So what is our substance? Well, if you look that word up, it seems to apply mainly to wealth, possessions. And you know, the Bible speaks more about wealth, possessions, than it does about heaven. It's very important to the Lord. And I guess he knew we would have problems with it. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we see a plenty of that in our world today, don't we? But it's wealth that we have and possessions. So we're to honor the Lord with those. And how is one important way, and I like to translate, when I'm probably adding to the scripture here, but substance, I think the most important wealth I have is my, and I appreciate it much more than I used to, is my health, life every day. I thank the Lord every day. I say, "Thank you, Lord, for life today, for health today, and for grace today." You know, there's a lot of things. And so how am I going to honor the Lord in these? And I think, two verses popped in my mind. First was James 1:17, and we won't turn to these. I'll just read them quickly in interest of time. "But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning." You know? And then while we're Deuteronomy 8:18, there's many. If you go through Scripture, you find verse after verse that establishes this. But Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." And how often our flesh wants to take, "I did this, I caused this," but realize, be anew, that everything we have belongs to the Lord. It's not mine, is it?
Amen.
When we leave this world, we're not going to take it with us. We'll leave it all behind for someone else, as Scripture over and over again warns us. And I think one of the greatest ways, and I had some scriptures with about stewardship, but I don't think we have time. I'm going to run short on time to go into stewardship. But stewardship, again, is just a way to commit that what I have is up to, is not mine, it's the Lord's, and how am I going to use it to honor Him? Again, you all know, if you've heard me before in Sunday school class, what I love to, used to love and still do, things that Larry Burkett taught, great Bible teacher on finances. But he said, in those days, it was a while ago, he said, let me look at your checkbook, and I'll tell you very quickly if you're honoring the Lord in your life. And so how am I, first of all, I think we need to realize whose possessions and wealth it really is, not mine, it's the Lord's. And if other people that weren't Christians, or maybe perhaps even other Christians, looked at my life and how I spent what God has given to me, would they realize, would they say, and someone mentioned the other day to the man at Lowe's, a pastor talked about, if you heard that, about that the lady said, are you a Christian? Well, if people were watching how I use the possessions and things that God has given me, would they say, are you a Christian? You know, so check yourself, check myself. I need to do it more. All right, well, we better get going here. And with the first fruits of all thy increase. So we've got substance, and with the first fruits, again, I'll just quickly read a couple of verses. We know what first fruits, and we hopefully know what increase. Today it seems to be with inflation going the other way, but we hope to once in a while have some increase, don't we? Exodus 22:29. So again, you follow this theme. I'm going back to the beginning of the scriptures, and then, but if you look through, and I don't have time to give all, but I'm going to give you a couple. Exodus 22:29-30. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits. And of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. And verse 30 says, likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, and on the 8th day they shall give it to me. Again, reminding them, when we put that offering in a little bit in there, again, it should be a reminder. It's a way of honoring and worshiping the Lord. It should be a reminder to me, this isn't mine, Lord. I'm giving you back this part unto you. And then all of us know Malachi chapter 3, and I can't leave this without at least including that one. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And the 9th verse says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And you see people that don't honor the Lord, and we see when we don't, the destroyer takes away, eats up what we have, doesn't he? Malachi 3:10, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there, that shall not, there shall not be room to receive it. And so that is the stipulations. That's what we need to listen to. But he then gives a reward. And I've run out of time, so we'll just say 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That's number one. And that's just your, now we don't, probably most of you don't have barns. I enjoy looking in a nice barn, but we have homes and other things, and a bank account probably. I'm not sure if that's a safe place to put it, but, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And Lord doesn't put words out of just by chance, does he? It's new wine. It's not old fermented, old stale stuff. It's new, fresh. And if you look up the Greek in that, that's what that word, that's what the wine in that instance, the word that's used means. Not the old stale stuff, but new, fresh. And that's what the Lord gives us every day, new and fresh. Thank you. And I.
Yeah, I was going to thank all these guys for making their time short so I could tell you I'll get you all out of here. I was trying to figure out how I could be funnier than Alan and say that I'll get you all out of here in 20 minutes. No, really. Okay. So mine's not on Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. And I'm just going to read it. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, I heard you talking about your father, talking to you as a son, and I heard you talking about love. Okay? So we're going to kind of keep those thoughts in your mind. Okay? So first thing I went to is the very two first words, my son. Okay? And my son, make sure I don't get lost here. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now we know we're talking about believing in Jesus' name, and he's given us the power to become sons, okay? Now that's where I'm going to begin. Now I'm going to take you to Ephesians. Y'all don't have to jump around. Just I'm going to read the verses word for word. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 says, this is instructions to the children and instructions to the father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, you were talking about your first commandment. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, for honoring your father and your mother. And it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All right, so that's when I went to the Blue Letter Bible, because I wanted to try to, that example of the father and the son, about not provoking us to wrath, and the son honoring the mother and the father. Okay, so when he gets down there and he's talking about nurture and admonition of the Lord, fathers not provoking your children to wrath, the nurture, when I was reading Blue Letter Bible, the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals, and also care of the body. Okay, so we're talking about, we're cultivating our children, their minds and their morals as they're coming up, okay? But also by not provoking them to wrath, and we know we're talking about not making them angry, okay? And the admonition is what helps us with that wrath and that anger by calling attention to a mild rebuke or warning. And I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I watched Jesse with Ezra. And when I read this, I was thinking, Jesse's nailing it. He's nailing it. And I don't have to give him instruction. I mean, he follows the Bible and knows, but he's nailing it. And we can see Ezra's growth down there in with the little ones, and just a beautiful baby. Anyway, so now what I'm wanting to bring your attention to before I go further is, if the father is not going to provoke us to wrath, our own father, Jesse to Ezra, and the sons are going to, don't let me get lost, got lost. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm there. Okay, so the children, honoring your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, which allows you, basically he's telling you, you're going to be well and live long on earth. Okay? So, with that training in mind, you want to think, okay, so if that's the Father, our Father in heaven, and he's teaching us how to treat our children and how to be fathers and how the children are supposed to be to their parents, wouldn't it seem that he'd be doing the same for us? So he's not calling us to wrath. He's going to train us in the education in the cultivation of our mind and our morals, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be thinking. And we talk about that with the armor of God all the time. Okay, but also when he's rebuking, it's mild. But it's also given warnings. He gives warnings throughout the Bible. You know, hey, do this, don't do that. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. So the part of the Proverbs when it's talking about despise not the chastening, okay, and not to be weary of his correction. For the Lord loveth, wait a minute, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son in whom he delighteth. So Jesse is delighting all the time in Ezra. I see it. You know, and me and Alan and Jason, I mean, we love Ezra too. I mean, it's right on. So with that in mind, we're talking about the Lord. See, if we accept him and he loves us, he's going to correct us, but he's not going to bring us to wrath. He's not going to beat us down. He's going to gently cultivate our mind and morals, and he's going to call to attention mild rebuke. So I'm going to end with Hebrews. I go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, on to verse 11. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us, or unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And I keep thinking constantly about Jesse and Ezra. And I just think, man. So then I try to relate that. If God is treating me like I'm Ezra, and I'm reacting like Ezra does to Jesse, and I see that young man just growing. Oh, it's just, I can't. And it didn't hit me until I started doing this. And so I'm just going to keep going and let God's word do the talking. All right, in verse 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? If you be without chastisement, wherefore are ye all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons? Furthermore, now that's one thing you always talk to y'all about, the question marks. So in verse 8, listen to it, and then we'll talk about the last point of it. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons? That's not a question. It's a statement. Are you? And it's not a question of, he's telling you that's what you are. So, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which correcteth us, and we give them reverence. Which is exactly what I see with little Ezra. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why he's doing it.
That's right.
So that we can be holy. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And I see her about to break down already, thinking about Jesse Ezra.
Amen.
To see little Ezra yielding peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Amen.
Because of a father that is taking him down the right road.
Amen.
And so anyway, you know, God's not going to beat us down. He's just going to correct us gently. He's going to teach us gently. He's going to guide us gently. And it's up to us to follow his lead and to do what he expects us to do. And, you know, the part about living long on the earth just by honoring the Father, by just following what he says. That's all we have to do.
Amen. Excellent. Thank you.
My goodness, if you came with a plate to have it filled up tonight, it got filled, didn't it? Wow, praise the Lord. Have someone showing me all the notes. My paper is full as well. These have just been excellent tonight. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking the word. And I have an imagination, a hunch, so to speak, that it's helped you in your walk with the Lord as well. And I didn't know how this would turn out with alternating like that, but I tell you, it's been a blessing to me. And I get to get preached to and taught. And I think that's wonderful because I need it. Thank you so very, very much. Well, we do have something else we need to do tonight. So we're going to say goodbye to those who are online with us. And let me just give you this invitation one more time. The weather's fine here. And when it's hot, we have cooling. When it's cold, we have heat. But we always have wonderful fellowship, no matter whether it's hot or cold. And good teaching and preaching here, especially when someone else is doing it. I shouldn't have put it quite like that. But nonetheless, it's a place where we hunger after righteousness. Amen. Amen. So with that, we'll say goodbye to our online folks, and we'll get our meeting started with the business meeting. So let's have a word of prayer, and we will enter into a business meeting. And so as we do, will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for tonight. My heart has been blessed. I've been fed tonight, Lord, and I study a lot because I need to do that because I love you. But I also study a lot because I know I'll be teaching and I'll be preaching and I'll be counseling and doing other things where I need thy word close at heart and close at hand. But Father, tonight I've just relaxed and enjoyed being taught and having your Holy Spirit minister to my heart through all of these various areas. And so we'll give you the glory for it. We thank you for that. But now, Father, this is your work and we want to do it decently in an order and to that which brings glory to you. And so, Father, we're going to enter into that here for a few minutes, and we'll ask thy blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray.